Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, hey, yo.
Wow. Hey, everybody. You know what's interesting is that
I'm doing finger guns, John.
I love it. I hear it.
I love it.
It's amazing that people are getting this for free. I said this in another shot. Not only do you get our true crime episode every single week, you get Darren sing-songing to you on a weekly basis. And I think that's just so much value in
Thank
one
you.
Podcast.
I feel right, exactly. It's like how much more could you possibly want? You're squeezing the life out of me because you're just getting all my gems. And you know, I want to correct something because in another shot this week, John, you know, you had said all these famous people that you were related to, you know, and I sort of teased you about Spice Girls again, and then you were like, "Oh, Spice Girls is the, you know, greatest girl group of all time." I beg to differ because I feel like I, as myself, am the greatest girl group of all time with my intros. True or false? Hit me with the facts. Like, don't be scared hurt my feelings, John, but just, like, be terrified to hurt my feelings at the same time. You know what I mean? So just give me the good stuff.
I think what you should do is just simply ask them to be a part of their group. Victoria was not a part of the last tour. And together, you can sort of align with their records and their history, and then you can be part of the most highest-selling girl group of all time. As of right now, though, I can't say that you are. I'm so sorry.
I think that because I couldn't be Sporty Spice, you know, and, like, I can be scary, right? But I'm not Scary Spice,
obviously.
That's true, yeah. I think I should be Stoner Spice.
Somebody said this in our Facebook group the other day. Like, one of our first couple of episodes or mid-episodes, we said, I think I was like Drunk Spice and you were like,
Stony Spice.
Well, Matt called you like, the Loca Lesbian or something? And he called, and like someone said you were Loca Lesbian Spice.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, there you go. There's your Spice name. You figured it out.
Well, I mean, it only took me, you know, 200 episodes, by the way, which I think this might be our 200th episode.
So there's a little bit of a discrepancy. I've just been working on this recently. So somewhere along the line, about a year or so ago, we mislabeled one of the episodes, or maybe even two of the episodes. And
that's right.
And so the numbers are getting updated as we speak, but I don't think they're super accurate. But I do know our 200th episode will be in October if it's not this one.
Okay.
I'll update us on the exact number next week so we can know where we are. But our 200th episode will be this month.
It's coming up. We're getting
old.
And to
that, we should drink to that, right?
I am honoring my drink today, as I've said, that I want to be the cool kid who doesn't just drink vodka soda.
Right.
And rosé, you know, so I'm attempting to fall in love with gin and tonics for my mother.
Oh, interesting.
So, Mom, this drink is for you. Gonna have a little Hendrix gin with a little tonic.
This isn't promotional or anything. I just honestly like Hendrix and bought the bottle just to try it.
That sounds good, by the way. That's not something I think I would ever order, but I know that's your thing. So good for you.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm so happy for you.
It's like such a backhanded compliment when someone's just like, I think that's really great for them. You know, like, for them. I think that I'm happy for them. Like, I think that's a great thing for them. Yeah. You do you. Right, exactly.
Right. I'm going to continue drinking my brown sugar bourbon from the Heritage Distilling Company.
Shocker.
And yeah, I should mention, they sent us that complimentary bottle a while back, and I loved it so much, I went out and got another bottle for myself. So this is like, I don't know how many bottles of this from Heritage Distilling Company that I've been drinking, but yeah, it's tasty. I love it. Which, by the way, on almost a weekly basis, here I'm pouring it, giving you a little sound effect.
Ooh, baby, yes. Dim the lights.
On almost a weekly basis, somebody is like tagging me in their picture of the Heritage Distilling Company's brown sugar bourbon, and I'm like, can I get like 10% of these sales or something? Because I could be getting rich really quick.
I mean, whoever thought you would get rich off of an alcohol brand?
Off of alcohol?
That's just like, it. Yeah, it's just not possible. I mean, you single-handedly changed the game for Funko Pops and, you know, it's pretty
great. By the way, I'm having it with cream sody, which I would also known as cream soda.
I know. And you wrote out sody, too. I was just like, I don't know whether to swoon for him or kill him. Like, I'm on the fence here today.
I love the way we kind of interact with our agenda points that we share every week, but especially last week. You have to go in, if you guys are listening, listen to last week's Another Shot. But somebody mentioned in our Facebook group cream soda with brown sugar bourbon. We opined about this last week about whether it would be too sweet. It is a touch. I took a little sip earlier, so I can tell you it is a touch too sweet. We were right.
Why don't you cut it with a little seltzy?
So then, yes, then you said to cut it with a little seltzy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was going to buy seltzy, and then I was like, I'm going to pass on the seltzy because maybe I can just put an ice cubey in it.
Oh, my God. A cubey.
A cubey sody seltzy. And maybe that would sort of, you know, be enough to kind of get balance out the sweetness. Turns out it just watered it down too much. So my you were right. The recipe should call for and I have some seltzy. There you go.
I just like that. It's pretty good. I like that. I think that you fit seltzy like 9 times.
Yes,
into
of
a
course.
Sentence.
Yes.
And the fact that you said QB, seltzy, and sody, like now I'm back in the John Thrasher chain of loving you again. Like I was off, and now I'm back in. I'm back in.
Oh, you were off.
I'm fully invested.
Well, good. I'm glad that you are. By the way, Matt will be joining us today before we get into today's episode, if I can speak. By the way, I just took a sip, so let's see how this episode goes.
Uh-oh.
Matt will be here. We're going to cue him up in just a second because he has some information about today's show. But Darren, let's get started because I'm so excited in a way about today's show. Obviously, we're going to talk about a murder, which is not always the happiest things, but we are kicking off our Halloween month, and I almost nearly kind of forgot it was already going to be Halloween. I mean, this year has flown by, at least for me it has.
No, it really has. I mean, it's been a tough year, but it has, like, it's surprising how quickly, like, we're already, like, as soon as the Halloween candy comes up, because as soon as that Halloween candy goes down, it's Christmas shit. So
it's
like
Christmas. right, which is gonna be on November 1st. You know, that's when the candy goes away. Anyway, so we're gearing up for Halloween this week with a murder that took place on Halloween night, 1984. Nothing really spookier than that. In San Jose, California, the chief of police called the crime the Halloween Horror, which is the title of the episode as well. This case will be aired as part of Oxygen's Halloween-themed programming, which is happening every Saturday in October. So if you're looking for something spooky that will actually maybe actually scare you because it's real life, tune into Oxygen on Saturday nights because it's going to be all Halloween. It's going to be awesome.
Tune into something spooky. Tune into Oxygen for something spooky. Turn into Martinis and Murder for something kooky.
There you go. And
kooky and spooky.
Kooky, spooky, and grab your drinks with an ice cubey, if you will.
I got my I got my sody and my tonic-y, and I'm ready to start this case. Okay.
All right, great. Why don't you kick it off for us? Get ready for Snapped, Women Who Murder, the official Snapped podcast brought to you by Oxygen, the new network for crime. This podcast is what all OG true crime fans have been waiting for. Each episode features the audio from the original premiere episode of Snapped that aired on Oxygen. It's like you're watching an episode of Snapped, except it's in your ears, in your car, or at the gym. New episodes of Snapped, Women Who Murder will be released every Sunday. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
We're going to be talking about Doreen Ray Hitchens here. Now, Doreen was born on November 29th, 1952 in Santa Clara. Her daughter Deanna said her mom had a good childhood and that Doreen had a sister and a brother and that they were all so loving. So, nice, almost picture-perfect family here. Mm-hmm. Now, Doreen's husband Charles said she was always giving and called her an angel. He also said when she smiled and laughed, you couldn't help but not loving her. How fucking sweet is that? I don't think I'd say that about anybody. Even my girlfriend, I'm like, ugh, stop smiling. You're annoying me. Come on. You're too happy. Jesus Christ.
Stop smiling.
Stop
that is definitely
smiling.
A Darren.
Stop having a good time with me.
That's a Darren thing, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it is so me. Well, Doreen worked as a physical therapist at a hospital and volunteered at schools because she loved kids. Now, before meeting Charles, Doreen had a brief marriage to a man named William Michael Dennis, who went by Mike. I don't know about you, and I'm reading this case with the rest of you guys, although I did a little research. Anytime you have a three-named person, like, you ever notice how, like, a killer is always three names?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Exactly. That's one murderer I'm thinking of. Yep. Yeah, John Wilkes Booth, another, considering that you're related to Abraham Lincoln. You know,
that's right, I am.
It's very weird. Mike was a factory worker, and he told Snap that he was deaf. Apparently, he could hear just a little bit with a very large hearing aid, but he didn't interact or have conversations with a lot of people. Now, certainly, I know when my grandfather was starting to lose his hearing, I mean, he used to be like me, like kind of a chatty Cathy a little bit. But when he got a little self-conscious when he couldn't hear things because he didn't want to keep interrupting the conversations, you know, with like, what'd you say? So it kind of like made him a little bit more introverted. So I can sort of understand this, you know, and it's probably pretty hard. So
it's Mike, and so many people go through this, by the way, even my own grandparents.
So many. Yeah. So many. Mike and Doreen were only married for about a year, but they had a son named Paul together. Mike was described as a doting dad, and his cousin said that his son Paul was the apple of his eye. I love that. Now, while Doreen got primary custody of Paul, Mike had weekends with him and wanted to spend even more time with his son. One day after the divorce, Doreen's car broke down and her future husband, Charles Herbert, happened to pull over to help. This is a meet cute if I ever heard.
Yeah, you know?
Well, the two exchanged numbers and Charles said, you know, it took off from there. Essentially, the rest is history. Doreen and Charles got married and had a baby girl, Deanna, in 1979, who I've mentioned before. Mike lived super close to the Herberts, about a 6-minute walk, according to court documents. And you know, John, I am not a doting father as much as I want to be. You know,
you are in our Facebook group, though.
Just in the Facebook group, because, you know, I hate everyone else.
Right.
And you're a doting mother just through and throughout. But we both don't have actual biological kids. So considering that Matt might have some expertise in this, I hate to say it. I'm grinding my teeth as I say this. I'm hesitantly looping in Matt here to provide some color commentary. What do you think, Matt?
I've decided I would like to comment at the end of the next section.
I literally can't. All right. That's literally, you want to chime in at the end of the next section. Okay. Thank you for that. That was exactly what we all expected.
Let's put him right back on mute.
Yes, please.
We'll get to Matt there in a second. Matt, by the way, we also want to hear how you're doing, so be prepared for that as well. Darren, if you, by the way, speaking of three names, I want you to know that before David Archuleta, before David, I was, this is how I know that there is absolutely no chance that being gay is a choice. I was in love with Jonathan Taylor Thomas for, I don't know, second, third, fourth, fifth, every grade thereafter. And, I just wanted to say, I know I did just say he's a murderer. He is not a murderer. We should just point that
out. You're clarifying that the love of your life is not a murderer?
It's not a murderer. Yep. Thank you.
So if anyone thought Jonathan Taylor Thomas out there was a murderer, let's dispel this rumor right now.
Let's just clear that up right now. Yes. There you go.
But I would say that if I think of like outside of what's his name? What the hell is the main heartthrob's name in 90210, Beverly Hills 90210, the Brandon guy, whatever his name is. Jason, what is his name?
Something Green.
No, that's Brian Austin Green.
Brian Austin Green, but another three name person.
I know. I was going to say, I feel like everyone had either
Priestley?
Brandon from 90210 or, Brandon Priestley, correct. Yeah. Good call on that. Or they had Jonathan Taylor Thomas. That was my experience. Right.
Or Devin Sawa. Remember, there was a whole thing with Devin Sawa after Casper. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't your school.
No, whatever. Are you kidding? Like, Devin Sawa was like, he was in Little Giants. He could get it. I was definitely more of an Icebox fan in Little Giants. Okay. That's how I know gay is not a choice. Because, you know, who's looking at Little Giants and be like, Icebox? You know, but that was me.
Little Giants, the baseball movie you're talking about?
No, sweetie, a football game.
Oh, football. Yeah.
Just stop.
Wait, what's the baseball one? See, this is why I'm
Angels
gay is not
in
a choice.
The outfield was
gay
one
is
of them.
Not a choice because
Major
I was so
League.
Turned off by
I
these
can't.
Kind of sports movies as a kid. Okay, let's get back on track.
I mean, yeah, like you... that wasn't a tangent. Sorry, Doreen.
No. I love that you, like, you know all of, like, the little, like, sports movies, and I'm like, let's watch Spice World. You know what I mean?
I'm like, sweetie, it's not a cooking show. Let's go.
Our childhoods were very different, yet the same. Okay. Anyway, the next year, on February 17th, 1980, something horrific happened. Paul, who was 4 years old, fell into the family pool in Doreen's house and drowned, which is unbelievably tragic. He was pulled from the pool and put on life support for a week, but when he was taken off life support, he died 3 days later. So 4 years old, this is happening to this poor child.
God, that's horrible.
Yeah, Doreen's husband, Charles, said, quote, "The pool had a fence up. It was protected. I believe the dog dug a hole under the fence, and it was enough for him to get through," end quote. Everyone in the family was devastated, as you might suspect, but Mike was totally consumed with grief. In 1981, Mike sued Doreen and Charles for personal injuries and wrongful death for Paul's drowning.
Wow.
That's according to court documents on that case.
Let me just say, sorry, but like, and I know we still have so much more to go, but like, not only is your ex-husband like taking you to court, but like, you also have to suffer the loss of a child, which has to be the biggest tragedy I think in anybody's life. I can't think of something more tragic than your child going before you. And I'm not even a parent, you know?
No, I know.
And when Matt chimes in after his section, he can, I'm sure, provide a little commentary on that. But just how horrible is that?
I know. Well, the case ended up going to trial, but Mike actually lost. Court documents say that Mike had been bitter about his divorce from Doreen. They also say he blamed Doreen for his son's death. According to court documents, quote, he told a coworker that he believed Doreen killed Paul, that she had not been watching him and did not dive in to rescue him after she found him at the bottom of the pool, end quote. Just that imagery alone is too much, like at the bottom of the pool. Like,
yeah, that's a little too dark for me, I gotta be honest. And you know me,
you're pretty dark, yeah.
Yeah.
In the courtroom after the trial, Charles asked Mike not to come to their house anymore, and with not any longer sharing a son, Mike and Doreen kind of drifted apart.
Sure.
Which is kind of weird. Like, I totally would understand that, but it also, I wonder if there's a scenario where even divorced, it would bring people together. Although, you know, he did sue, so maybe.
Well,
it's
I mean,
a
they do say
thing.
That. I don't know what the percentage is, but like couples that lose a child, you know, this was all about like how the affair started in on Showtime. Couples that lose a child, it's very rare for them to stay together after that, and so I'm sure it just like. It's too much grief. Like, you're reminding each other of that grief to some extent. So.
Yeah, and there's probably this thing where, like, you want to move on, you know?
Right.
You don't,
yeah, exactly.
That's just, like, the mental, that's the way our brains work in one way or another. So, anyway, in October of 1984, Mike lost his position at work, and to avoid being laid off, he accepted a demotion in another department and a pay cut. After another 4 years, Charles and Doreen learned that they had a baby boy on the way. So, Matt, I'm done my section.
Yes.
We're setting you up here. How are you doing? How did you want to chime in after this section?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I did want to say thanks to everyone who reached out. Quite a few people reached out and gave their condolences because my sister-in-law died. And she really was like a mom to me. And, you know, my brother is much older. And so I have known her since either the first or the second grade. I couldn't remember. I was trying to figure it out. But she's been in my life forever. But it was very meaningful. And also, I was driving with my brother. And we listened to Martinis and Murder. And we heard, you know, the tribute that you and Darren did. And it was actually very touching to him. So thank you to everyone. And yeah, for this case, I mean, I just wanted to say, like, I'm gonna give this away. Mike did the murder.
Oh, okay.
All right, then. Spoiler alert. Well, thank you for burying that lead.
Yeah, everyone just turned their podcast app off.
Yeah, that's
thanks.
It. That's the case. Mike
that's
did it.
Case.
Three names. What did
week.
I say? I said three names. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need. But, you know, I will say... This is a horrific case. It's terrible. Yeah. It's disgusting. It really is bothersome. At the same time, like, I kind of found myself feeling bad for Mike because, which is ridiculous, but I kind of did because, you know, here's this person who's a little bit disconnected from the world, you know, from reading the court documents. I believe that Doreen is the one who... you know, broke off the marriage and wanted the divorce from certain things that I read. And, you know, I think it's like, okay, he's deaf. I mean, it's probably not so easy for him to go out and meet people with this communication obstacle there. And then he has this son and, you know, from everything I read and, you know, it's like, there's some additional stuff that I couldn't really fit in, but like, he really like lived for his son, you know? And then, so like, his wife broke it off, I think. You know, his son died at his wife's house or ex-wife's house, which it's ridiculous that he's blaming her because obviously that was an accident. But at the same time, like, he was living for this child. He's in his middle age. And then he, you know, reading about his job situation, he was moved to this department doing something that he thought was just kind of absurd. It's not really what he did. And, you know, he was making like 13 something an hour, and then he went down to $10 an hour. And it's not a lot of money to begin with, but like when you're at 13 and you go to 10, you know, it's just like his life was just not doing well. And I think he was just really stewing. And I found myself actually feeling kind of bad for him. That's all.
Yeah. If you don't mind me just chiming in. Yeah. I was going to say, listen, the story leading up to what we know so far, leading up to what ends up happening, I think it's totally normal to sympathize with people and empathize with their hardships, you know? And unfortunately, I feel like we hear about this a lot on this show where, you know, we hear about the background and what led people to these horrible things. And it's like that, you know, up until that point, that doesn't change that they were sort of down and out on their luck.
Well, you know, and I think this is something that we often joke about with me, with Ed Kemper, you know, how I'm like, you know, sometimes there's more to a certain story. And first off, Matt, you know, like, jokes aside, like, we are so sorry for your loss. And like, we missed you here. We missed you everywhere. And you know how hard it is for me to say that. But we're glad that you guys could listen to the lovely tribute. And obviously, the listeners have your back. And we all have your back here. But
for sure,
you know, I think you make a really good point. Take a drink, because there's a lot more to the, and I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that they're not guilty or that they shouldn't go to jail or serve justice. But I think that with a lot of people, it's not so cut and dry to be like, they're a sociopath and they killed this person and there's no good reason.
Right.
There's a lot of story there for a lot of people. And, you know, you don't know what it's like to be in someone else's shoes, no matter what, even if it's an evil person. Like, knowing someone's background and maybe how they were instructed to handle things or what was going on, you know, minimum wage, you know, going from $13 to $10 an hour, like, that can take the wind out of your sails in a way that maybe for you wouldn't be a big deal, but for someone else, it could be their whole life.
Yeah, and I think you put it so perfectly. It's like, and not just with, like, tales of people who murder, like, I think it would behoove many of us, especially as we head into an election, frankly, to put ourselves in other people's shoes for just a minute, you know, and try to think about the reality of what it means. Even what Matt was just saying about going from $13 to $10 an hour in 1984, that's probably extremely significant, you know? So thinking about how your lifestyle changes and maybe how you can't support your life or your family in the same type of way, those are literally life-changing things.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
You know, yeah, I think it's something to think about. It's not just with murder, but just in life in general.
I agree.
Yeah.
Last thing I'll say is I am having a glass of Sauvignon Blanc-y.
Oh, okay, good.
Matt, that's known as Savvy B.
Savvy B.
Okay, Savvy B. Yeah, definitely. Well,
but with the sodies and the ice cubies, I appreciate that.
With my ginnies and tonnies. So
let's
keep going. Well, on Halloween night in 1984, Charles took 4-year-old Deanna trick-or-treating while Doreen stayed home, you know, to help give out candy. She was 8 months pregnant at this point. When Charles and Deanna came back home, he made a run for the store. He says he believes he was gone for, you know, only about 15 minutes or so. Now, during that time, a man wearing a wolf mask knocked at the door and attacked Doreen. This attack was brutal, to say the least. And, you know, I'm just going to say it how it happens, and I apologize for triggering anyone with this, but court documents describe what happened when Charles came back home. Quote, he said, he saw Doreen lying bleeding on the floor at the entry to the living room. He saw the fetus in the living room and thought at first Doreen had miscarried. Then he saw Doreen's hand lying in the living room along with part of the fetus. He tried to stop Doreen's bleeding by holding her arm tightly, but he saw that there were severe cuts on her neck and stomach as well. And, you know, just famously, when we talk about Manson murders here and we talk about, you know, what's her name? Tate. Sharon Tate being pregnant, you know, and that was like outside of her being like this budding young actress, you know, when it's a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
It's a whole other level of just horrificness. So Deanna was home at the time of the attack and said the man who attacked her mom said he'd kill her if she told anyone. When paramedics arrived, Doreen still had a pulse and they tried to save her. Charles was literally covered in blood. He'd been trying to stop her bleeding. Charles was speaking hysterically and almost in a nonsensical way, which, how? Of course, right?
Of
course. Now, he was placed in a patrol car as he was, of course, the first natural suspect, as these husbands and boyfriends tend to be, and
covered
tends to
in
be
blood,
someone
no
you
less.
Know, covered in blood for sure. And officers decided to take him to the precinct where he began kicking the doors to the car. Police checked the house to make sure no one else was inside, and they found Deanna hiding behind a couch.
Oh my God.
A crime journalist told Snap, police must handle this very delicately. You have a 4-year-old child who most definitely has been traumatized. She would have to see a specialist, a psychiatrist, someone that she could talk to before they can get a chance to find out what she may have witnessed. And, you know, I've talked about this before, the little bit of what I know with neuroscience and psychology, your brain has a way to protect itself. And you can literally block out something subconsciously in order for your brain to protect you from trauma. So no wonder, and she's 4 years old. So, you know, no wonder you're going to have to go through years of therapy even to get some sort of idea of what went down here.
Right.
Well, the scene looked incredibly eerie, as you may have discovered. You know, the hallway was red with blood, and there was a stool with a pumpkin on top. An officer said, quote, it was a lit jack-o'-lantern sitting on a bar stool with this grin on its face, and it was the only light in the house with this candle in it, and it was completely, completely eerie, completely bizarre. And, you know, not to make light of this in any sort of situation, because just reading that alone freaked me the fuck out. But John, it sort of made me think of your house, your haunted house in Maryland. Like,
I did too for a second. Yeah. I mean, my house is, I just got the Halloween decorations out and I was like, this house is already so creepy. Like, do I need to add skeletons and jack-o'-lanterns everywhere? But yeah, I know. It did kind of give me that same similar kind of vibe when I was reading through some of this research. By the way, just that imagery, you know, I think you, by the way, described that very well, Darren, as you read through it. The imagery of just one jack-o'-lantern just sitting on a stool,
smiling?
like as if it just sat there, and yeah, like it sat on the stool and just watched everything go down and nothing, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff is so odd to me. But anyway, well, the officers determined the attacker must have used a machete or some kind of similar object. A detective said, quote, when you hit somebody with a machete or a knife and you raise your arm back to strike again, you actually send a spray of blood backwards. Which makes sense, right? Because I guess when the machete, if we're going to get through it, the machete has blood on it, you're whipping it backwards, et cetera, et cetera. And a reporter said, quote, there was blood splattered everywhere, on the ceiling, on the walls, on the furniture. A wolf mask was discovered in the right-hand corner of the entryway, and a reporter described it by saying, quote, a mask of a caricature wolf with big teeth, big eyes, tongue hanging out, end quote. Not unlike maybe Matt's reindeer mask. Let's just put it out there. I know we're all thinking it. A detective told Snap that he believed the culprit had to be someone close to the family because of the tremendous amount of rage on display at the crime scene, again, with all the blood splatter everywhere. Doreen had, quote, severe cuts to her abdomen, uterus, placenta, and the umbilical cord. The fetus suffered severe chopping wounds. I know. And
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just, like, reacting as you're reading
know.
Yeah, yeah.
And was expelled from Doreen's womb. The fetus was found dead at the scene, end quote. That's a tough one to read.
Yeah.
Another detective said, quote, at that point, I was kind of convinced that we had the right guy in custody at the department, which was Doreen's husband, because he was covered in blood, end quote. Which, of course, and like, he was kicking the car door, like, you know, he's acting crazy, but because of what he found, I think anybody would in that circumstance.
Well, right, and like, you know, it's an easy alibi to be like, went to the store for 15 minutes, you know. So this is, you know, I'm not blaming the police for thinking this at all.
No, sure, right. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Doreen died in an ambulance on the way to the hospital while Charles was in custody. Police found a trail of blood leaving the house and going way down the street before suddenly stopping, and they collected samples to send into the lab. They also canvassed the area and talked to one neighbor who saw a man standing across from the house in a wolf mask. Ugh, this is like my worst nightmare.
This is the creepiest fucking thing ever.
But this is by far our creepiest story, I feel like, so far. But the idea, this imagery, and I'm sure you do this, you know, as we share each other's research here, you're sort of creating this imagery in your mind, almost like you're watching an episode of Snapped, if you will. And the thought of, like, someone standing across from a house in a wolf mask.
Yeah, no.
Is
yeah,
so
no.
terrifying. No. The neighbor said he was just standing there for a long time, staring. Again, terrifying. Anyway, police also learned that Doreen had a strained relationship with her former husband, and they went to his address to talk to him, which Matt spoiled earlier, so you might know where this is going. When officers arrive, they hear water running inside, and they wonder if Mike might be trying to wash away some evidence. When he opens the door, he agrees to sign a consent form, allowing police to search his home, saying he had nothing to hide. That's an interesting point here, because here we have her actual husband, who, as far as we know, has nothing to do with her murder, just covered in blood and acting erratic in the police custody.
Right.
But then we have her ex, who's like, yeah, come on in. Come see what's happening. Go wherever you want. I think that's so odd. Anyway, we'll get to more of those details in a second. But he couldn't sign with his right hand because, guess what? It was all bandaged up and bleeding. He said that he grabbed a knife by the blade on accident. Well, what perfect timing to grab a knife by its
blade.
Yeah,
and also, like, are you an idiot? But that's right. But that's just a side note. Just a side note.
Well, police find drops of blood on the grass outside and on the kitchen floor, plus bloody gauze in the bathroom. Too much for a little mishap with a knife, of course. They arrested him for murder on the spot. I think at that point...
Like, if you're picking up a knife on the wrong end, like, the moment you pick it up, you like, what are you doing? Like, throwing it at your other hand? Like, you'd realize it was sharp. It's not going to cut through to bone and be dripping everywhere. You know what I
also,
mean? Like,
absolutely. And also, what are the odds that you would grab a knife at the exact same time that your ex-wife was murdered? I think that's kind of weird too.
Interesting point. Take a drink of your little sody there.
I did have a little sippy of sody.
A little sippy. Now, police continued to search Mike's home and found a receipt for a machete, with an 18-inch blade. This is not your average kitchen knife, my friends.
No.
In Mike's garage, detectives also found two handmade coffins, two body bags, weights, and a map of the San Francisco Bay. But still, they had to let Mike go after 48 hours because all the evidence was just circumstantial at this point. A news conference was held, and the police chief called the crime the Halloween horror, as you had mentioned up top. Now, working with a child psychologist, detectives turned to Deanna to learn what happened. Now, Deanna described a loud knock on the door. Not a normal knock, but a louder, more aggressive one. Remember, it's Halloween night, you know, like
people
really aren't like, let me in, you know, it's like you do a little tap and then you walk away. Well, the massacre began right when the door opened, but Doreen managed to tell Deanna to go run and hide. Deanna hid behind the couch, and after Mike butchered Doreen, he walked through the house calling out Deanna's name. Ugh. Oh, my God.
Ugh, I can't take it.
Oh, my God. An officer told Snap, if he would have found her, he would have killed her. No two ways about it. And he didn't find her, and he left. Ugh. I mean, just goes to show that even at a four-year-old, you know, fight or flight response to this shit. Like, your brain just knows kind of what to do in these situations. Thank God he didn't find her. Investigators look into Mike's background and discover that he never forgave Doreen for his son's death. I think that's pretty clear. Mike's cousin said, quote, he thought in his mind about what Doreen's intentions were. Was she just trying to get rid of Paul?
Right.
I think he kind of settled on that. That idea that she just really didn't care about him anymore. She'd moved on to a new marriage, new kids, etc. And Paul was something of a burden to her.
Like, I thought the same thing. It's like, how, so, you know, you have to think about his motivation here. It's like, do we know this whole story into the nuances of, you know, their relationship or maybe things she said to him? You know, a lot of that is missing, unfortunately, because we aren't a part of that relationship. But it's like, obviously, whatever he was feeling, whether it was justified or not, he felt that she was responsible for their son's death. And you just wonder how a person gets to that point, whether it's, you know, for real or their own psychosis that's causing it.
I mean, that's just absolutely wild, you know.
Yeah.
It, just the thought that some other kid could be a burden to her. But, you know, this does happen. And the blood results come back from the lab. And while it was before modern DNA testing, police can see that Mike's blood type was mixed with Doreen's blood at the crime scene. So he was there. Detectives caught another break when they discover Mike had gone to a Halloween party the previous year dressed as a big bad wolf. And there were pictures of him at the party wearing the mask.
Wow. Well, that's pretty good, you know, sleuthing for that time, you know, 1980s. Probably some disposable cameras laying around, you know, taking pictures of the big bad wolf.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, 4 years after the murder, Michael Dennis finally went to trial for first degree murder of his ex-wife and second degree murder of her unborn child, which, you know, I don't know if I want to say I'm happy to hear that, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, if there's a fetus laying in the living room, he should absolutely be charged for that. You know what I mean?
Totally.
From the evidence at his house and in his garage, prosecutors theorized that Mike's plan was to kidnap the Herbert's family and drop them into the bay to drown.
By the way, and can I just say, like, you know, you're thinking Mike obviously never forgave her for the death of his son, Paul. But so then your response is to potentially kill another child
everyone.
And kill the unborn child and your ex-wife. Like,
right.
Just sick.
So sickening. A reporter said, quote, the body bags, the coffins, the weight, the map of San Francisco Bay was clearly indications that William Michael Dennis had been thinking all along about killing the Herberts the same way his son Paul died drowning. End quote. But prosecutors believe the sight of children trick-or-treating caused Mike to snap. A detective told Snap, quote, I think trick-or-treaters came to his house. He saw his son running up to trick-or-treat and everything came to a boil and he started thinking about it and he says, the hell with it, I'm going to do it now, end quote.
Interesting.
Sure, I'm sure that's triggering in that way.
For sure.
After initially pleading not guilty, Mike changed his plea to guilty by reason of insanity, although no psychologist had ever categorized him as being insane. That was kind of what I was getting at a second ago. It's like, does he have a reason to believe that his ex-wife really murdered her son, their son, or is he just kind of having these thoughts in his head? That didn't go over too well, though, with the jury, and he was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death.
Oof.
A former detective said, quote, every Halloween I think about it. I mean, every time I see a pregnant woman, I think about it. It's just horrendous, you know. It's something that really shook San Jose, end quote. Charles, Doreen's husband, said, quote, it happened. I gotta accept it and we gotta move on. The anger, the hate, the revenge has pretty much subsided. But yes, I forgive him for my sake, end quote. Well, can you imagine?
I mean, the strength it takes to forgive someone, you know, but the thing about it is, given the fact that, you know, so much death and tragedy, unborn child, you know, wife, the other son from the other marriage, it's like, you know, when you really think about it, sometimes when you hold on to that hate and that anger, it's like drinking a bottle of poison and hoping the other one dies. You know, it's like you have to do what you need to do for your child, too, because, you know, you need to move on. And so the strength that Charles must have had, you know, I understand that, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's what we were just talking about, too, earlier. It's like when you were saying, you know, when people lose a child and they kind of drift apart, it's like it's only in our brains to find a healthy way forward. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's to forget it all or try to get into a routine in life that doesn't include that kind of overwhelming sadness on a returning basis, so to speak. So I completely agree with what you were saying. Doreen's daughter, Deanna, said, quote, I'll never forget what he did, but I forgave him for what he did because I don't want to hold that anger for the rest of my life. My mom would want me to move on with my life. My mom would want me to be happy, end quote.
It's very similar. What I said, you know, I think.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, Mike is still sitting on death row in San Quentin State Prison. I know San Quentin is where Scott Peterson was, right? I'm pretty sure that's where he was.
Yes, he is.
What a story. I mean, so sorry to hopefully no one is too upset by some of these gory details. And, you know, anytime we talk about anyone pregnant in particular, it's always kind of tough to get through. But sometimes that's what you deal with true crime. You want to hear these stories and they're sometimes not as pleasant as the others. But what a way to kick off our Halloween month, right?
Yeah, with tragedy and heartbreak. Gotta
and wolf
love
masks.
It. Yes.
Yeah, and wolf masks. Nothing like that.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to look at a wolf mask normally again.
Or
you know?
Jack-o'-lantern, never, ever again.
God, no. God,
I wanted to say, let us know what you think about today's episode. Follow us on social media, Jay Thrasher, Carpe Darren, Matt the Bartender. Matt, thank you very much for chiming in. We kind of got through this episode rather quickly. By the way, Darren, do you find it surprising that Matt listens to the show, like when he's not, you know, like recording
it? I mean, he's obsessed with me.
He's obsessed with us. Oh my God.
I mean, like, it's like, it's like, he's just obsessed. It's like, calm down, you know, like if he actually showed up to the show,
that would be another thing,
you know?
Yeah.
That was like a backhanded insult. I love getting that, you know?
Darren, why don't we do some listener shout outs?
Let's end on a positive note here.
Yes.
Well, Stephanie in our face group says, just watched American Murder on Netflix. You know, just as I got into bed as a show before I go to sleep, definitely not sleeping after listening to Chris Watts describe his last moments with his daughters before he killed them in cold blood. How the actual fuck can a human do that? And why not just get a fucking divorce like 39% of people who are married in the U.S. do? And she uses that in all caps. Stephanie, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, we've said this so often on the show. It's like, you don't have to murder. You
Wait,
can
like,
just
why
get
that
a divorce.
Your first thing. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
Why?
Why is that always anyone's, even if it's your 10th thing, don't do it, you know?
Yeah, it shouldn't even really be on the list of things as an option. Just get it off your list. Yeah, cross it off. Just cross it off.
Yeah, I haven't seen that show on Netflix yet, but I know the Oxygen special on Chris Watts was really good. And I'm not just saying that because I work here. It was really that good.
No, it was great.
So I wanted to give a shout out to my new friend, Darren, that I made. Ooh. Her name is Lindsay. She, too, has become a fan of the show and has been so supportive all around. She's friends with my other friend, Annie, who absolutely loved you, loves you, loves your computer party that
who
you had when you were a kid.
Who doesn't love the computer party?
Exactly. So shout out to my new friend, Lindsay, and Annie, who Annie texts me all the time about the show. She is obsessed with you, Darren. Like, I really hope one day you guys get to meet.
Oh, really, my God. That. Lindsay. Yeah. Va, va, voom. I'm into this. Hopefully, when this is all done, I will be able to meet both Lindsay and Annie. I love you both. You know,
any I just
friend
thought
of
something.
Is a friend of mine.
Oh, thank you. I just thought of something. Like, maybe when this is all settled a little bit, you should come to my hometown and like meet some of my friends and family here.
Oh my God! It only took 8 months of quarantine for me to get the fucking invite. Gee,
the invite. Yeah.
Will this be my 30th birthday gift? No? Okay. Yeah.
An invite to my haunted house. I mean, you have to at least see my haunted house.
You know I'm going to bring a jack-o'-lantern now, though.
Obviously. Yeah. By the way, I wanted to mention, I mentioned this on Thursday's episode of Another Shot, but we have a new show premiering on Oxygen called The Real Murders of Orange County. Darren, that might sound like something you're interested in, The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah, it does.
Over
it
on
sounds
Bravo.
Eerily similar.
Yeah, it premieres Sunday, November 8th at 7 p.m. It delves into the most horrific, sinful, and salacious cases that have rocked Southern California's kind of wealthy coastal community, from murder for hire's gone wrong to families turning on their own. Viewers are going to hear these harrowing tales of when privilege kind of leads to problems and greed leads to murder. So if you're looking for new shows, I'm telling you, Oxygen has... I promise I'm not just saying this. I've seen the first episode. It's really good stuff. And like I was saying at the top of the show, every Saturday in October, we're doing Halloween-themed shows. I'm telling you, true crime, Oxygen is where you want to be.
I am all about it. We don't just endorse shit to endorse shit.
No, we definitely don't. I promise we don't. Darren, what a tough episode to get through. It was good to hear from Matt again, but I'm glad that the team could be back together.
I'm glad that the Touch Woman 7000s
Touch Woman 7,
are
yes.
back in full effect. We will see yeah. you. Well, actually, you'll hear us next yeah. week for a brand new Another Shot in a brand new case. Thanks to all of the listeners out there. Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye.
Bye.